Richardson said, if you knew what God knows, you would order your life exactly the way He ordered. And we'll look back and say, it was good. I was glad. And we'll say, what we read now, we'll know with absolute certainty that the sufferings here were not worthy to be compared, incomparable to the glory that we will be experiencing. In light affliction, we will consider them all very light. Romans 8, for those of you who know and love the Lord, His Word, lean on His Word, this is one of our favorite passages, isn't it? Like Psalm 27. Joseph preached on that a couple Wednesday nights ago. He read it tonight. Look at verses 20 through 24 again. Let's read these verses. Romans 20 through 24. The creature, meaning every creature on earth, every plant, animal, everything, was made subject to vanity. Not willingly. That is, had to endure sin. And not willingly, but by reason, the purpose of God, who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered. There'll be a new heaven and new earth. And I do not doubt that there will be animals, perhaps. But the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation groaneth under this terrible burden of sin, travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, or the creatures, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we're saved by hope. Saved by hope. And the Scripture says we have a good hope through grace. And he went on to say, the reason it's called hope is because they're not there yet. We haven't experienced it. We don't see Him yet, but we believe Him. And we believe Him. Peter said, whom have you not seen, you love and rejoice. But we don't see Him. We're not there. But Scripture says we are seated together with Him. We're as good as there according to His Word. He's good. He's good to His Word. And He said, I'm coming back. He said, if I go to prepare a place for you, and in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. He wouldn't promise us these things. He says, if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. So, but we hope, but it's a good hope through grace, a hope in His Word, hope in His promises, and God, who cannot lie, has promised salvation, promised eternal life to all who hope in His mercy. Anybody? I would say most everybody in this room hopes in His mercy. Well, you have it, and you will someday be with Him in glory. This is a message of hope. After speaking, you read it with me. After speaking of bondage, and we feel like we're in such bondage to the flesh, and to this world, and to our passions, and the things of this world, in bondage, sufferings. We all suffer. My pastor used to say, God had one son without sin, but no sons without suffering. Suffering, corruption. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, and like Lot, we're vexed with the corruption around us and in us. Groanings. Do you not find yourself walking around often just groaning over your own inward corruption, groaning over all you see around you, groaning over the troubles and sorrows and that you go through. Pain, he spoke of pain. And there's hope. Hope in a seemingly hopeless world. This world looks dark. That's what Isaiah 8 says, that they look around, look to this world. Trouble, darkness, dimness, and anguish. People driven to darkness. In a dark hole, in a deep hole. That's the reason it says in Psalm 28, the Lord is my light. Bring me out of a dark hole. Don't have to stay in a dark hole. He looked to the Son of Righteousness. It's healing in His wings. He spoke of this hope in a seemingly hopeless world as hope for the present. Right now, I need hope right now. David wrote in one of the Psalms, make no tarrying, O Lord. Hasten to help. Hurry. This can't wait. There's hope for the present. There's hope for the future. There's hope for us. There's hope for our children. There's hope for our church. There's hope in God. That's good hope. Hope in Christ. Hope in His Word. His promises. This is a message of hope. There's no such thing as no hope. As long as Christ lives. As long as this Word is still being proclaimed, as long as you have breath to call upon Him, there is no such thing as no hope. It's never hopeless. Because our hope is within the veil. And it's a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Message of hope. Okay? Alright, look at verses 13 and 14. He says, if you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. What he's saying is, and up in verse 6, to be carnally minded is death. Death. If all you live for is this world, the things of it, it's death. It's dying a slow death. Because the things of this world are dead things. Perishing things of clay. And so if that's all we're after. It said it's in verse 20, this creature, everything about this world is subject to vanity. There's nothing in this world that will give us any fulfillment, any peace, any happiness, any lasting joy. If you find joy in something, but it doesn't last, then it really didn't bring you much joy, did it? It's over. And Christ said, the joy I give unto you, no man can take it away. And when all this sadness and sorrow and this vanity is over, then there'll be joy unspeakable, full of glory. There'll never be a time when there is no joy. That's hard to imagine it. There's hardly a day goes by we don't have some sadness, some sorrow, some darkness, is there? But there, it's eternal day. It's a message of hope. If we live for this world, it's vanity and it will just bring us down. It's like dying a slow death. But if through the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit of God, we can mortify, see that the things of this world, even us, we are dying. If we can just keep that in mind, and yet Christ said, there's life more abundant. If He set our affection, if He will set our affection on things above, this is what the Spirit of God does. Takes our affection off the things of this world, sets our affection on things above, and it gives us hope. Everything, change and decay, and all around I see. Oh, thou who changest not, abide with me. Which is vanity. Vanity. Alright, look at verse 15. He says, you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Some of you were in legal religion, under the law. And maybe somebody's still under it. There certainly is on the Lord's Day when we have more people. But those who are trying to live in such a way to feel, I don't know, some sense of morality or goodness, and nothing wrong with that. But you never can attain to this perfection, this holiness, this righteousness, so as to make you accepted by God. But Christ came. Christ came to give us this righteousness. And the law, the strength of sin, Scripture says, is the law. We cannot do the things that we would. And the law just keeps convicting us. And yet, he said down here in verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. You see, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that are under the law. So, if anybody's trying to live in such a way and be holy and righteous, I hope the Lord will convict you and make you see that in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. Because Paul said, I thank God there's no condemnation if I'm in Christ. And if you can look to Christ, you won't despair of yourself, of reaching this level that you're trying to reach. But verse 15, it says, you've received the spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Our God is a consuming fire, the Scripture said. The Old Testament people, God told, and this is the law, God told Moses, don't let the people come near this mountain, Mount Sinai. Don't let them come near. Don't let an animal come or I'll kill it. God is holy. Don't come near. Alright, but Christ came as our representative. Like Abraham and Isaac went up that mountain. Christ went up that mountain. Made sin for us. He who knew no sin. Christ went in the Holy of Holies with his own precious blood. Obtained eternal redemption for his people. Scripture says when Christ died on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. It says, therefore, all God's people, sinful though they be, in Christ, have boldness to enter in. Come right up into the presence of God and say, Father, call God our Father. God is a consuming fire. Abba, Father. It's a term of endearment. It's a close, affectionate term of endearment. Look at verse 29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine. Whom God did set his love upon, choose. He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Verse 30, whom he did predestinate, that is, predetermine everything about them. He also called by the gospel. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Well, whom did he do this for? Who did he do this for? Who did God choose? Who did God foreknow? Who did God choose for his family? Adopted his family. Not many righteous. Mm-mm. Not many wise. Not many noble. They're not any righteous. You see your calling, brethren? 1 Corinthians 1 says, God has chosen base things. God has chosen the weak thing. God has chosen the despised thing. Things that are not. Nothings. Nobodies. Do you know that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation? That Christ Jesus came into this world, sent by God, to save sinners. That's who God chose. That's who God adopts into his family. I told you about Brother David Edmondson's daughter and son-in-law choosing a child of a drug addict. Now who would choose a child like that and set their love upon that child and take it into their home and love it forever? God does. That's the only kind he chooses. That ought to give us hope, shouldn't it? All God's sheep are black sheep. You see? We can call him Abba Father, a blessed, precious term. What do you call your earthly father. What did you call your earthly father? Dad? Daddy? You call him Daddy? Steve, big old hulk of a man, you know, called his daddy. Daddy, didn't he? Daddy. This message actually was suggested to me. My daughter left a note on my desk while I was away, and it says, "Hi, Daddy. Love and miss you, Hannah, with a big old heart." That's a keeper. I'm going to keep that. And there are many of them just like it. And I began to think of, it immediately made me think of this verse, Abba, Father. There's no sweeter word to me than Daddy. Unless it's Pawpaw. It's Sophie. Sophie was up snooping around in my study, I guess, while I was gone. And she left me a note. This was a year or two ago. She left me a note. It said, "I love you, Pawpaw." And then she signed it, Sophie, 8 years old. I've had that on my desk for a year or more. I wouldn't part with that for anything. You know what I did after reading that? After I finished drying my tears? I wrote my Lord a note. I wrote my Father a note. And when I left that office, I put it on my desk. I said, "I love you, Father." Signed, Paul, 63 years old. And our Lord doesn't need to hear that from us. No. You need to tell Him. I know we're ashamed of that. We're ashamed of our love, aren't we? Peter, Simon Peter was ashamed, wasn't he? He just denied his Lord. It's the first thing Christ asked him to do. It was the first thing he asked. He knew. The Lord doesn't need to hear it from us, but we need to tell Him. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? Yea, Lord. Abba, Father. Verse 16 says that spirits beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And if we're children of God, we're heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. Turn over to Matthew 6. Listen to what our Lord says to His dear children. Listen to all these blessed promises. Those that trust Him. Those that look to Christ. Those that believe Him. Those that worship the Father and rejoice in Christ. No confidence in the flesh. Matthew 6. By the way, that's Philippians 3. I just quoted it. One of our next subjects. Matthew 6. These are words, blessed Sermon on the Mount to His children. And you know how it started. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are they that hunger. Matthew 6, verse 6. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. You don't have to use vain repetitions, he said. You're not heard for your much speaking. Hey, God's not impressed with our words. You know, it's better to have a heart without words than words without heart. He knows. We're going to read in a minute from Romans 8. It says, if you pray with just groanings, he knows what you're saying. Like a little baby. Mothers and your children were very young. And they just give all good. You knew what they're saying. You knew what they wanted. Now, our Father, how much more your Father? But look at verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. You want to hear a good message on this? Look up John Chapman's message on this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Look at chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 9. Chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asketh, receive. What did He tell us to ask just now? Forgiveness, our debt. You'll receive it. Forgiveness. And he that seeketh, find it. He said, seek your face. Lord, thy face will I seek. He that seeketh, find it. Him that knocketh, it shall be open. What are we knocking on? The door of mercy. What man is there of you, if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? And you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Listen to this. You can turn if you want. Isaiah 63. Listen to it. Isaiah 63, verse 15. Listen, if you didn't turn. Look down from heaven, behold, from the habitation of thy holiness and thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength? The sounding of your bowels and your mercies toward me. Are they restrained? Doubtless thou art our Father. You're our Father. Oh Lord, our Father. You're our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting to everlasting. Listen to Isaiah 64, verse 8. Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay. You're our potter. We are the work of thy hand. Be not wroth or very sore, O Lord. Neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee. We are all thy people. Will he hear that? He just said he would. Ask and you receive. Abba, Father. And this is the groaning that we have. We hope in His mercy, we hope in His grace, forgiveness of sin. We groan over our men. Who are the children of God? Look back at Romans 8, verse 16. Spirit bears witness that we're the children of God. Who are the children of God? Do you remember the children of Israel? That's what God named them. The children of Israel, the sons of Jacob. He said, I'm the God of Jacob. He said, Israel, they are my children. The children of Israel are the children of God. What kind of children were they? Were they good children? It started out in Isaiah, and I just read the end of Isaiah. It started out in Isaiah by saying, I've raised up rebellious children. And they rebelled against him. He says, the ox knows his owner, the ass knows his master, creator. But he went on to say, now come now. Let's reason together. And in the end of that, the children through Isaiah are pleading, yes, you are our Father. Forgive us. Who are the children? Spirit itself beareth witness that we're the sons of God. If the Spirit of God convicts you of sin, and you mourn over sin, blessed are they that mourn. You're a child of God. The children of men don't mourn over their sin. The children of men don't need forgiveness of sin. The children of men don't... The seed of Satan don't need this gospel, do you? That's the Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. The Spirit's not telling you you're good children and therefore God's pleased with you. That's not what He's saying. What He's telling you is God's pleased with Christ. Are you looking to Christ? You're accepted. And the Spirit's also said, I'm going to work on you. And it's not going to be pleasant. But it's going to be good. Yeah, God calls us His children. Christ called all His disciples. Look at Luke 12. Luke chapter 12. I want you to turn to these scriptures. This one in particular was, I just can't tell you what it meant to me. When I was a young believer, the Lord called all of His disciples that followed Him my little children. Didn't it? My little children. Luke chapter 12. One time when I was a very, very young believer and working on the railroad, Stephen, all the live long day and night, and out in the world, and you know what it's like. I haven't forgotten what it's like to be out there in the midst of people out there. It's tough, isn't it? Tough to deal with these people. And A lot of times it seems to rub off on you, doesn't it? And you wonder, am I a child of God or am I not? So I was struggling, just walking along, walking the train, Stephen, walking along, checking the brakes. And middle of the night. And I was just so, feeling so sinful, so sorry. And this scripture came to me as if God spoke it out loud. Look at it. Luke 12, verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Boy, my steps quickened, my heart lifted, my head lifted, and I made it to the caboose and just sat down, caught the caboose and sat down and just wept. Tears of joy. It's your Father's good pleasure. He's just delighted to give you the kingdom. It just gives Him great pleasure. Who, me? Yeah, you. You. Good pleasure. All the groanings that we have. Look at verse 17 in our text. Go back to Romans 8, 17. It says, if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs, heirs. We have an inheritance waiting on us. An inheritance. And look, listen to this. 1 Peter, you don't have to turn if you can't. 1 Peter 1, listen to this. Blessed be God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, His abundant mercy. He begotten us, born again, with a lively hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Remember, Christ said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. We have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed. It's close. Ready to be revealed in the last time. Our sister Kathy Pruitt had it all revealed to her, didn't she? Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through many temptations. And I remind you, if it be, whatever it be, if it be, it need be. Or it wouldn't be. Heavy trials, the trial of your faith is more precious. Faith is more precious than gold that perisheth. Though this faith be tried with fire, it's going to be found unto praise and honor and glory and at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see and not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, and you're going to receive the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. So we have an inheritance. We have an inheritance. Reserved in heaven. They're joint heirs with Christ. At thy right hand, David said, are pleasures forevermore. And eye hasn't seen, and ear hadn't heard. And now it hasn't really entered into our hearts fully the things that God had prepared for them that love Him. Do you love God? Don't be ashamed to admit that. Don't be hesitant to say it. You do. You do, don't you? Our Lord said it to Simon Peter. You believe in God. He just told Simon, you're going to deny me before the rooster crows. You're going to deny me. But you believe in God. That's the next thing he said. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Well, how does he know that? He gave him that thing. Believe also in me. I go to prepare a place, he said. So, joint heirs with Christ. If so be it, we suffer with Him. And all of God's people suffer. We're crucified with Christ. We suffer the effects of sin. Our Lord suffered because of our sin. Well, we suffer the effects of sin too, don't we? We suffer with it. And we suffer for His cause. Some measure of persecution. We sorrow for others. Our Lord came here and He felt compassion and a burden, a heavy weight for the troubles of His brethren. There was a time when I didn't even know any of you. I had no burden for you. I had no sorrow for you. I didn't lose any sleep over you. I do now. But it's a good thing. And we suffer. Christ did. We do too. We suffer these things. But He says in verse 18, I reckon. And that's where we got all these old Southern sayings. You reckon? The biblical saying is, I reckon, and you need to reckon, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in them. Turn with me again to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. Turn over there. I reckon, we need to reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. You remember when Paul said, our light affliction, brethren, our light affliction, which are but for a moment, they don't last. When this whole thing is over, it's going to seem like in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed. Our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, worketh for in us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Not weight as a burden, but we're going to be so filled with glory. Not going to be weighted down, we're going to float up with glory. That we're not going to remember these things. And when Paul said that, have you read of the afflictions that Paul went through? Read those. And he's the one that said that they're light compared to the blessings, compared with the innumerable blessings. And light compared to the afflictions of some, others. A young lady I texted today and asked her how she's doing. She said, I've been better. Well, I said, there's others worse. Much worse. And we need to always keep that in mind, you know. That will lighten our affliction. First help, first lesson in self-help. Think on somebody else. Your troubles will lighten. Your afflictions will lighten. Second lesson, cast all your care on Him. Okay? You got a lot to care for, a lot of people to care for, a lot of things that burden you, and a lot of troubles, a lot of responsibility. Cast all your care on Him. Why? He's the one taking care of you. You're not caring for them. He's caring for them. If you're gone, He'll still care for them. Okay? Cast all your care on Him. Look at Isaiah 65, verse 16. He who blesses himself in the earth blesses himself in the God of truth. He that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten. They're hid from mine eyes, the Lord said. Behold, I create a new heaven, a new earth. The former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. Behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Oh, these light afflictions, he said in our text, sufferings of this present time, incomparable. The glories we're going to experience. Read on in our text. The earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. The creature, this world and everything in it, all the animals, made subject to the vanity. God made everything for a purpose. And he said it was good. Not vanity. It was good. Plants, animals, everything. But Satan, according to the purpose of God, tempted the woman. You know, the fall of man brought in sin and corruption and bondage and pain and sorrow and suffering and death because of sin. Death because of sin. The first thing Adam and Eve had to see was an innocent animal. Sweet, precious lamb. Might have been Eve's pet. Might have been her favorite pet. You know how innocent lambs are? That's why the Lord chose a lamb to represent Himself. Doves. Sad to see an innocent animal laying there dead in it. Huh? No matter what it is. They're subject to this sin and this corruption. And they're waiting. The creation's waiting for all this sin to be gone. A new heaven, a new earth. Just like the Lord put animals on the earth the first time, and they were waiting for God's crowning creation. All the animals, plants, everything was created for man. For the glory of God, for the happiness of man, Man created for the glory of God. Alright? They're all waiting. And alright, they're watching. Maybe the animals were around. You ever thought about that? And hovered around while the Lord Jesus Christ reached down in the dust and started creating Adam. And this man in Christ's image, living creature. And they all came to him. He named them horse, dog, friends, no fear. Nobody afraid of anything. No need to be. And then sin came. Sin. Now this place is a fearful place, isn't it? A dark place. There was no darkness, all light, beauty, glory, peace, happiness. Now it's the opposite. So everything's waiting. So God's created. He said, I've created a new heaven and a new earth. What's it waiting on? Same thing. The sons of God. Christ come in. He'll bring them all in. Everybody's waiting for them. And there's no possibility of anything ever spoiling that again. Wonderful. Groaning. And we ourselves, verse 23, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. That's what Paul said. And Romans 7 goes with Romans 8, doesn't it? He said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Oh, wretched man that I am, please come deliver me from this bondage of corruption. How long, O Lord, how long? It won't be long. So, he says, verse 24, saved by hope. Wait, you'll see. Hope in Christ, hope in His Word. Wait, we're saved by hope. Hope that is seen. It's not hope. That's why He didn't let us. You know, Paul went to the third heaven, didn't he? Paul, when they stoned him that time, he died. They took him up for dead. Now, he's the one that wrote about that in 2 Corinthians 12, I believe it is. He said, I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, went up to the third heaven, the heaven of heaven. And he said, I heard things that were unlawful to utter, impossible. I can't describe it to him. You know, that's why he said, I have a desire to depart and be with the Lord, which is far better. Oh, he said. Well, he'd already been there and seen it. But God. Somebody asked why the Lord wept at Lazarus' tomb. Well, many reasons. One, the effects of sin on this world. But somebody once said the Lord perhaps wept that he had to bring Lazarus back to this place. We're not going to come back here. It's not going to be here to come back to. He's going to destroy them. Oh, my. My, my. Our groanings, look at verse 23. We're waiting for the redemption of our body. Redemption. Waiting for redemption. Would you turn to one more passage with me? You'll be glad. Hosea. Find the little book of Hosea, chapter 2. You'll be real glad that you read this. I was. Redemption. Waiting on redemption. Can a wasted life be redeemed? Can a wasted life, and if every one of us were honest, we'd say we pretty much wasted most of our life. When I look back, I'd like to do it all over again. But no, John, you know what I'd do? I'd do it again. Wouldn't you? I'd waste it again. Wouldn't we? Sure we would. Because we're sinners. Can a wasted life be redeemed, be ransomed, bought, paid for? You know, people try to do things to redeem themselves. Try to buy, pay back, pay for things they've done. Try to undo their past and you know, buy favor and redemption, you know, to seek redemption. Well, none of us can redeem ourselves. We're not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, our vain conversation and trying to redeem ourselves. We're redeemed one way, by the precious blood of the Lamb. Redemption. And I need to find Hosea. Okay, there he is. Listen. Hosea chapter 2, verse 5. The mothers played the harlot. She done shamefully. She said, I'll go after my lovers. They'll give me bread and water. My wool, my flax, my wine, my oil, my drink, my lovers. So, he said, I'll hedge up her way with thorns. She won't find her path. She won't know if she's coming or going. She'll follow after her lovers. She won't find them. She won't overtake them. She'll seek them, but she won't find them. She'll say, I'll go and return to my first husband. And it was better with me than now. She didn't know. She just didn't know that I was the one that gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold and gave her everything. Verse 9, I'm going to take away those things from her. Verse 10, I'm going to discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. Verse 11, I'm going to cause her mirth to cease. Her happiness is going to be over. Her feast day. I'm going to destroy, verse 12, her vine, her fig trees. She said, these were my lovers. I'm going to visit her. Verse 13, I'll visit upon her. Verse 14, behold, I will allure her. And I'm going to bring her into the wilderness alone, by herself. When she reaches rock bottom or him, and I'm going to speak comfort to her. Keep reading. It gets better. Look at verse 19. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, in judgment, in loving kindness, and mercy. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. It gets better. Verse 23. I will sow her unto me in the earth. I'll have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. I will say to them, were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. It gets better. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Go yet love a woman. Here's who the Lord came to redeem, people. A beloved of her friend, yet she's an adulteress according to the love of the Lord toward the children of God. Those who love other gods and flagons of wine or all kinds of pleasure. So I bought her to me. I bought her for me. She's mine. You know the whole story, don't you? Hosea, redemption. So there's hope. There's hope. As long as there's a Redeemer. There's hope of redemption. And we're saved by hope. Those we hope for, hope in His mercy for them. We say we hope. We hope in His mercy. And back in our text, he says in verse 26, I love this, Spirit helpeth our infirmities. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought, do we? Do you not find yourself most of the time just groaning? I'll just be honest with you. I try to pray most of the time, and about all the time, most of the time, all that comes out of my mouth is, Lord, I need mercy. Lord, would you have mercy on so and so? Lord, please have mercy. Lord, save us all. Huh? We pray for the same things, and we often feel like, Lord, I keep saying the same things. So you know what I need. Yes, He does. He says the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He knows the mind of the Spirit. He knows. He makes intercession for us according to the will of God. So, here's what we know. I don't know much, but this I know. Okay? I'm going to end it with this. And if this doesn't give you hope, nothing will. We know. And John wrote a whole book on it. This we know that the Son of God has come. We know that all things work together for good. For our good. It seems bad. It seems like it can't get anywhere. But it's all working for good. To them that love God. Do you love God? If you do, it's because He first loved you. And if He first loved you, He's always loved you, and you always love Him. Who are the called according to His purpose. Have you heard this gospel call? Some of you are nodding your head. Yeah. Called according to His purpose. It's all good. His purpose and glory which shall be revealed. Called the purpose of our God. We know that. All right, stand with me. Heavenly Father, thank You for Romans 8. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the sure mercies of David that are found in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David. Our hope that lies within the veil, the Lord Jesus Christ. We wait for Him. We wait for our redemption. We wait for this liberty, the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We wait, Lord. We say, like David, how long? But while we're waiting, Lord, cause us to sing, cause us to pray, cause us to praise Thee, because it won't be long. It won't be long at all. And we'll all look back and say, it wasn't long. And we thank You for everything. Lord, we hope in Your mercy, we hope in Your grace, we hope in Your love and loving kindness for those that don't know You. We ask that You would rescue another forlorn woman, a child, a wayward child. We ask that You'd bring her or him to Yourself, we pray. For Your glory and honor, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed.